3 years ago, the New Jersey Medical Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act went into effect. This law allows the terminally ill to request medication from a physician, which will give them the ability to end their own life. Leading up to this law taking effect, the fears were many, one of them being it would result in, some people believe, mass suicides, as an example. Fact is that the mechanics of the law has a series of requirements and checks to the process. My first guest today has been a pioneering medical professional regarding this choice. In a recent op-ed, she called for a relaxing of some of those requirements. Here to discuss this is physician and founder of New Jersey Death with Dignity, Dr. Deborah Pasek. How are you today, doctor?
I'm fine, thank you.
Learn more about the issue and the work of New Jersey Death with Dignity. Their website is njdeathwithdignity.org, and we have a link up at our homepage. For those who are really just aware maybe of the title and the concept, what are some of the details about the Medical Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act?
So the basic details are that any resident of the state of New Jersey who is an adult and has the capacity to make their own health care decisions, if they have a terminal illness, and this has to be confirmed by two independent physicians, they have the right to ask for life-ending medication, which comes in the form of a prescription where the patient then fills the prescription and can have that medication on hand if they choose to end their life, or when they choose to end their life. But the point is that these patients who are terminally ill have that option to have autonomous decisions over how they die, given that their death is imminent anyway.
And unlike what, as I referred to in the introduction, a lot of the fears before the act became law were that someone with had to have an amputation because of diabetes, they can't go up and say, "Oh, I can't take this anymore. I just want to end it." Someone like that isn't able to have access to this option.
Absolutely not, because again, the requirements are that the patient submit their request formally 4 times. So twice to the prescribing physician with a waiting period of 15 days in between, once to the consulting physician who confirms their eligibility, and then the request also has to come in writing. So you have two physicians that are actually reviewing the case, and these physicians, you know the law and are the gatekeepers, really, for people that are truly eligible, as opposed to people that want to end their lives for either mental health reasons or for, unfortunately, chronic illnesses which cause a lot of suffering but do not have a terminal prognosis. And those people are not eligible, unfortunately, in my opinion. But that is the law, and we are the gatekeepers. We as physicians are the gatekeepers for that law.
And we'll get to the op-ed you wrote recently, too. It was entitled, "Dying Patients Desperately Need New Jersey Lawmakers to Improve Medical Aid in Dying Law." But I wanted to touch on a point first where, again, putting fears to the side, there hasn't been a rush to this program. If I see reports, I mean, it's always a different number one or two in the tabulation, depending on what the tabulation has done, I guess. But I've seen pretty much a common number over 3 years, around 115 people. That's all who have made use of this option in their medical care.
Correct, and it mirrors the statistics in other states where this law has been legal for a lot longer. So it's really a fraction of people that have this desire. I mean, most people, do not want to end their lives intentionally, even if they have terminal illnesses, whether it's because of religious beliefs or moral beliefs or just not knowing that they have the option. And that's the beauty of this law. It's completely optional, both for the physician, the pharmacist, and the patient. So every step of the way, is completely optional.
Totally.
So you only have the willing parties involved, and it's mutual respect for those willing parties, and nobody is coerced otherwise.
So Dr. Deborah Pasek, who is also the founder of New Jersey Death with Dignity, njdeathwithdignity.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Getting to your op-ed, which you've also linked to on our homepage as well, written toward the just around the end of July, but still very relevant for the reasons that you point out too, because the process of the Medical Aid in Dying for the Terminally Ill Act requires just a built-in waiting period because of the structure of the process. And you say that that waiting period creates a problem for certain people with certain medical conditions.
Correct. So first of all, as far as the waiting period goes, and I have seen well over 100 patients so far in the last 3 years. When I see the patient for the first time, there is no doubt in my mind, in really virtually any of these cases, that the patient is of sound mind and has, and this is not an impulsive ask on the part of the, this is not an impulsive ask on the part of the patient. Many times, most of the time, a long time has gone by where the patient has thought about it and has discussed it with their family and loved ones. So I've never seen anybody that has come in impulsively asking for this. It's been a very well thought out decision-making process. Having said that, there have been an unfortunately high number of patients, and I would say approximately 25% of the patients that I initially see, and that's a huge number, they don't make it 15 days. So either they are so ill that they die before those 15 days, or they lose capacity, so they become either unconscious or they become mentally unable to make this decision because of tumors spreading to the brain, for example, or other, you know, metabolic issues that doesn't allow the brain to function properly. So, or they have lost their ability to self-ingest. They are too weak to either swallow or to push a plunger on a syringe. So these patients who have gone through, you know, a very thoughtful process with their own minds and with their family and loved ones that have come to this decision and have been brave enough to ask for this medication, then in the end, their wishes are not met because of the 15-day waiting period. And I think that's very sad. And there's a lot of anger and frustration on the part of these survivors, on the part of the surviving loved ones and family, that I hear again and again and again. You know, we tried to give our loved one what they wanted. We respected their wishes, and the system did not allow them to go through with it.
Another one of the elements that you would like to see changed is the residency requirement. And reading what you wrote in the op-ed made me think, would the removal of that requirement actually have a negative effect in removing any encouragement neighboring states would have into instituting a similar program in their own state? Would this, in effect, limit the growth of this cause?
I don't think so. I think that even if the residency requirement were waived, the patient still has to be in New Jersey to take the medication. It's not, you know, just because I can evaluate a patient out of state, in New York State or Connecticut, and prescribe for that patient, the prescription would still have to be filled in New Jersey. And most importantly, the act of taking the medication and dying would have to be in New Jersey, because if they did this in a state where it is not legal, then the family is potentially liable for criminal charges as far as aiding and abetting the patient's death. So there still is a process of checks and balances that would still be in place where the actual act would have to take place in New Jersey. But the patient wouldn't have to actually leave their home and get a new residence in New Jersey in order to obtain this medical procedure. So, you know, right now it's limited to those that have the financial means or the family in New Jersey to be able to change their residency, to either move in with family and or, you know, rent an apartment or whatever in New Jersey. So it really limits those out-of-staters who want to avail themselves of this law. And that's the only way they can do it right now. But if the state residency were lifted, those patients could still see a physician out of state, which is the case for every other medical procedure in medicine. A patient can cross state lines to obtain prescriptions and or procedures for any medical situation, except medical aid in dying, including abortion. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense that medical aid in dying cannot be, that the prescription can't be written for an out-of-state resident as long as that out-of-state resident complies with their own state laws and their own and New Jersey laws as far as when they actually take the medication.
It's certainly an issue for you listening that brings about an emotional reaction that's often done without factual knowledge. And I think what Dr. Pasek is doing, especially through her work with the New Jersey Death with Dignity organization, she brings those facts into the equation so you or your family or people around you can make a more solid decision regarding what is certainly an emotional issue, but it has to have some balance as well in reality, knowledge, and awareness. Learn more about the work of the New Jersey Death with Dignity organization, how they offer information and guidance for patients as well as people in the medical field. It's njdeathwithdignity.org. Dr. Deborah Pasek, thanks so much for the honesty and the reality and the truth you bring to what is often an issue that gets a lot of confusion attached to, and thanks for being here today.
Thank you very much.